Okay. Every day. Okay. So we're learning really just three lines of Gemara. This is a big important Taisa sign, which has far-reaching nafkamina. So if we just to recall from yesterday, the Gemara told us Bechor Shenitraf is Pata from Pidin Aben. What is this Bechor Shenitraf? Shavashi told us that the 30 days that you have to wait in order to perform Pidin Aben is in order to determine whether or not the Vlad, whether or not the baby is a Nefo or a Bar Kayama. If he's a Nefo, you're Pata from Pidin Aben. If he's a Bar Kayama, you're Chayiv in Pidin Aben. But if the animal, baby gets killed before 30 days arrives, so we really can't tell whether, we don't know, we can't conclude whether or not he was a Bar Kayama or he was a Nefel, and therefore you're Pata from Pidin Aben Misafik. If we would know that he was certainly a Bar Kayama, he had been a full-term baby, one would have been Chayiv in Pidin Aben, even though he died before day 30. Oh, that's Rashi Shita. So Taisus had disagreed. And Taisus felt, no, the 30 days is not in order to determine whether or not the Vlad is a Bar Kayama or is a Nefel. It's Xeris HaKosov that you have to wait 30 days. And therefore, even if the Vlad is full term, you're not Chayiv in Pidin Aben until day 30. And if the Vlad doesn't make it until day 30, he's killed. Of course you're Pata from Pidin Aben. You didn't fulfill the Xeris HaKosov. And Taisus has a Raya against Rashi. Two proofs. The first proof against Rashi is from Gemara Maseches Bechoris, which tells us that if a person pays Pidin Aben early, he's not Yotze. Before 30 days, he's not Yotze. It says, Taisus argues, don't you see from here that if you're not Chayiv in Pidin Aben until day 30, it's Xeris HaKosov. Nothing to do with determining whether or not the Vlad is a Bar Kayama or the Vlad is an Eifel, because otherwise, well, once the Vlad is determined that he's a Bar Kayama, why can't I pay before day 30? That's Taisus Kasha Rashi. So we suggested for Rashi yesterday that Rav Shach already explains that according to Rashi, it must be the obligation begins on day one, but you don't have to pay until day 30. So therefore, if the Vlad is a Bar Kayama day one, even if he's killed before day 30, if I would know he's certainly a Bar Kayama, he was a full-term baby, you'd be obligated to pay once day 30 comes, even though the Vlad had been killed. But just you cannot pay before day 30. You're obligated on day one, but the time of Tashlumen does not come until day 30. That's how we answer the first kasha on Rashi. And that is that a person is chayiv on day one, even though the obligation to pay doesn't really become active until day 30. So if we would know the Vlad is a Bar Kayama, even if the Vlad is killed before day 30, be obligated to pay once day 30 rolls around. But you still can't pay early because the obligation to pay doesn't set in until day 30. Okay. We said it's a slightly unusual. You should have an obligation is one point, but yet the obligation really sets in at one point, but the obligation to pay doesn't arrive till later. Okay. However, Taisus has another kasha on Rashi from another Gemara Masechtas Menachos, which is quite unusual. So let's just see the Gemara Masechtas Menachos, which will really open up something that we mentioned yesterday. I'd like to amend something that we said yesterday. If we can do that, you'll give me the opportunity to do that. Which I really was excited this morning, came up with a new pshat. Look over here. The Gemara tells him, it's not mine, it's Reb Chaim's. But look over here. The Gemara tells him Masechtas Menachos. The Gemara says, let's just look at the Gemara. Whenever Tosfos quotes the Gemara, it's helpful to see it inside. So the Gemara says, Es yale yenuka de Israel trei Rashi. A baby is born with two heads. Kama ba'ina lemeis of the kohen. How much do you have to give Pidin Aben to the kohen? So also hu saba, old man came. Tanu echayv litein lo yud sloim. You have to give 10 sloim. Eini, why do you have to pay Pidin Aben at all? Va'atani rama barachama mitoch shenema padoi sifdez b'chor ha'adam. Shemea ni afilu nitraf b'soich lamid yoim. I might have thought, even if it's nitraf, you have to give Pidin Aben. Tamo loima achilek. You don't have to give Pidin Aben. Ach Padoi Sivdeh comes to exclude. You don't have to give Pidin Aben if the baby is Nitraf. Oh, Shalom Aleichem. You don't have to give Pidin Aben if the baby is Nitraf. So if the baby is Nitraf, you don't have to give Pidin Aben. Why do I have to give Pidin Aben for this baby that has two heads? So how did Taisus learn this Gemara? Taisus says, what this Gemara is discussing is a baby that became a Trefa. Our Gemara is telling us, Achilek, that not only does the obligation of Pidin Aben not set in until day 30, but if the baby is a trefa, so then you're Pater and Pidin Aben. Rashi said, no, if the baby is killed and we can't determine if it was a Bar Kayama or is an Eifel, so then you're Pater and Pidin Aben. The whole purpose of the 30 days is to determine, and here it didn't make 30 days. We don't know if it's a Bar Kayama, if it's an Eifel. So therefore, your pater and pidyon aben. Tosfos says no. Bechor shenitruv is talking about a bechor that became a treifa. Your pater and pidyon aben. Nothing to do with a baby that gets killed. And in fact, until day 30 arrives, it's exeris hakasa. They do not chayv in pidyon aben. Just exeris that this pasuk is teaching us achilek to exclude not only a nefel but even a treifa. Is pater and pidyon aben, even though it lives for 30 days. If it can't make it through the year, you're pater. So over here, the assumption was, says Tosfos, that what? That this bechor that has two heads is not going to be able to survive. So for Rashi's Gemara, makes no sense. What are we comparing a baby that was killed to a baby that has two heads? This baby that has two heads is going to live for 30 days. The baby that was killed is not alive 30 days later. So what does one have to do with the other? So for Rashi, it's a difficult Gemara. Tosfos says, no, the comparison makes beautiful sense. It's wonderful. What's the comparison? The comparison is that a bechor that has two heads is presumably a treifa. And therefore, well, the Gemara is asking, why are you chayv and pidyon aben, you know, for, you know, not only five shloim, but 10 shloim? It should be a treifa. It has two heads. It probably won't be able to make it through the year. So what does the Gemara answer? Shiny hacha, the begugolas tali rachmana. No, here it's different because you have to give pidyon aben per head. Not per, you know, body. So even though it only has one torso, you're obligated to give two times pidyon aben. How did that answer the kasha for Tosfos? We don't understand this Gemara even according to Tosfos. According to Rashi, we certainly don't understand the Gemara. That's what the kasha according to Rashi. What are we comparing a baby that was killed to a baby that has two heads? We don't understand the comparison. But according to Tosfos, we really don't even understand the answer. The Gemara said, well, why are you chayv and pidyon aben? The baby presumably can't make it 12 months. Says the Gemara, no, here it's different. Because the chiv of pidyon aben depends on how many heads you have and how many torsos. What does one have to do with the other? Oh. So Reb Chaim says a beautiful pshat, which will help us understand something that we mentioned yesterday. Reb Chaim says, no, of course this behema, this person with two heads, the problem was never that he couldn't survive. The kash of the Gemara was like this. The Gemara was asking, how many people are here? A baby that has two heads, it's unfortunately, again, Yana de Yoyma with the legislations pending in New York, not pending, it's already passed in New York City. But what's considered to be an independent life? What's considered to be here? You know, how many people are there when you have this person over here with two heads? Is this two people? But you're missing half the body, you know, for one of them. Or, you know, they're disputing who the torso belongs to. So we're missing one torso. Or no, it's one person with two heads. And says Reb Chaim, that's what's going on here in the Gemara, because perhaps the exclusion of treifa from pidyon aben has nothing to do with the fact that it can't last 12 months. If you remember yesterday, we mentioned that the Nemuke Yosef told us, why is it that a treifa is potter from pidyon aben? Because not only is a nefil excluded, who can't live 30 days, we're even pushing it further. Ach, pados, if there were ach coming to exclude something, even if the baby can live past 30 days, if it can't live 12 months, you're pater from pidyon aben, according to Tosfos. The Rush said, no, even if the baby could live past 12 months, if he has some defect, he's missing something, part of his body, even if he could live past 12 months, he's pater from pidyon aben. So he asked, even if he could live 12 months, why is he pater from pidyon aben? So perhaps he's pater from pidyon aben, according to the Rush. Remember, we mentioned yesterday, even if he could live, you're pater from pidyon aben. Why? Perhaps it's because Treifa is not excluded because he can't live for 12 months. It's not a further, you know, exclusion. Nafil is 30 days, Treifa is 12 months. It's rather because the Treifa is excluded because he's missing part of his body. You're only chayv and pidyon aben for a baby that's whole. If he's not whole, says Reb Chaim, there's no chayv pidyon aben. Wow, that's why a Treifa is put there. If you remember yesterday, Kavaldik, if you remember yesterday, what is that noise? My computer? Why don't you tell me something? As I... Computers are only problems. If you remember yesterday, we had a very perplexing Me'iri. We had a diok like that. In the Rambam, the only time a treifa was excluded from pidyon aben is when? Anybody remember? If the treifa happened?
After.
If it's born with the treifa, you're not excluded from pidyon aben. We ask, Manavshach, we don't understand. If a person has this treifa and he's not going to live 12 months, okay, he's not going to live 12 months. What difference does it make if it happened later or happened when he was born? But I think according to Reb Chaim, we could say unbelievable. What can we say? We could suggest no, treifa is excluded, not because he can't live. The Rosh told us even if the treifa could live for 12 months, he's pater from pidyon aben. Why are you excluded? Because you're missing something. You're chaser. Well, pidyon aben only applies to a baby that's born whole. So if the baby is born with the treifa, Yes. So that's the way he's born. Everybody's born differently. Some big, some tall. Yeah. So this baby is born like this. Fine. That's called whole vis-a-vis this child. But if a treifa happens later, oh, now he's chaser. Now he's missing something. Oh, we could call that missing. B'chorcha nitrov. He's missing because of some accident that occurred. Now he's putter from pidyon haben. Now he's called chaser. Yeah.
With two heads.
Oh, so the Gemara was asking, isn't this a Bakar? As you're saying, it's a Kasha Agar on the Meiri. So the Meiri learns that's exactly what the Gemara answered. The Gemara thought this is considered to be a Bakar Shanitrov. The Gemara asked, isn't how's this different than any treifa? The answer is, the Meiri told us that's exactly what the Gemara means. This happened when it was born. It's born with two heads. That's why it's not a treifa. That's exactly the answer of the Gemara, according to the Meiri. Here, this way, baby, would you remember? We saw that yesterday. Here, the baby was born this way, as opposed to Bechor Shenitrov happened later. But Reb Chaim learns the Gemara differently. Reb Chaim says, no, what the Gemara was asking is this called, forget about that distinction, happening later, happening at the time. Bechor Shenitrov is potter because a treifa is missing part of his body. In order to be chayv and pidyon haben, you have to have an entire body. That's why we could begin to distinguish between a treifa that happens later as opposed to a treifa that he's born with. Treifa that he's born with, then he's called whole. Treifa that happens later, then he's missing. But even without, that's a really, you know, taking the idea to an extreme. But if the treifa is potter because he's missing part of his body, so says Reb Chaim, now we understand the answer of the Gemara. The Gemara began with the assumption that we're dealing with two different people. That's why the Gemara says, why are you climbing two times pidyon haben, ten tzloim? Because we're dealing with two people here. So the Gemara says, well, if you're dealing with two people here, someone's missing a torso. Someone here is a treifa. What about Bechor Shenitrov that you're putter and pidyon haben? Here you have two heads. How are you climbing pidyon haben if there's two people here? You're missing one torso. And for the Gemara, that what? We're talking about one person. One person with two heads. Oh, so we're not missing anything. No one here is missing anything. If anything, it's a little bit extra. But no one here is a Bechor Shenitrov. That's what the Gemara meant to answer. Shiny Ochlubu, Gogola, Sarachmana. No, of course we're dealing with one person. If you're dealing with one person, why are you chayvin two times pidyon haben? You're chayvin two times pidyon haben because pidyon haben depends on heads, not on torsos, not on the rest of the body, not even on two people. It could even be one person, but if you have two heads, you're chayvin two times pidyon haben. So I think this Reb Chaim opens up the entire discussion of why is a treifa excluded from pidyon haben, according to Tosfos. Is it because, just like a nafel can't make it 30 days, a treifa can't make it 12 months? And padosif that comes to expand that exclusion? Or no, treifa's pata because he's not shalem. Even if he can live, he's not shalem. Ah, now we begin to understand where the Gemara Menachah is coming from. Yeah, what do you want to say, John?
Didn't we say yesterday that treifa could also be
listening to extra something? That could be what the Gemara was assuming in the Kasha. Yeah, could be. According to Chaim, it wouldn't work that way. Yeah.
So now that we're saying he's shalim, how come he fits into treifa?
He's not a treifa now. The so Bechor with the two heads. Huh? No, the Havamino was that there's two people. Kamash Milan, it's one person. One person with two heads.
Yeah, I'm saying, but going back to our tosos, at the end of the tosos, it says that we're able to
now. Like some would argue a pregnant woman.
They're both treifas. Huh? Tosos the end in Will Kamasin, the yeah. Treifos, and that's how the Gemara can make a comparison. We thought it was a treifa
because it's two people with one torso. Someone here is missing something. That's a treifa. Kamashmo, no, it's one person. There is nobody missing anything. Perhaps we didn't understand the Meiri yesterday. Why should it be? It happened later. It happened before. Now perhaps we can understand where that whole discussion is coming from. Okay, but either way, this Gemara is very difficult according to Rashi. Rashi, because Shenitrov means the baby was killed, and therefore we can't determine if it was a Bar Kayama or if it was an Eiffel. What does that have to do with the baby with two heads? So Tosfos therefore rejects Rashi. The problem is that there is a source, Tosfos already admits it, in all intellectual honesty. Tosfos says there is a Gemara that implies like Rashi, because the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, we mentioned yesterday, that Kol Sheshar La'amid Yo Ba'adamein Onef. According to Tosfos, the idea of waiting 30 days is not in order to determine that the Vlad is a Bar Kayama or to determine whether it's a Nefel. It's rather, like Seiris HaKosef, if you're pushing not Chayim and Pidyon HaBen till 30 days rolls around. Nothing to, even if we would know the Vlad was a full-term baby, it could certainly, you know, live for a long time. If the baby, was killed before day 30, you're potter and pidyon haben, no shiloh. It's exeris hakosiv, you have to make it 30 days. That's it. Gzeres HaKoyim. According to Rashi, no, it's in order to teach me, to show me, to demonstrate if the Vlad is a Bar Kayom or the Vlad is a Nefel. But the problem is, the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, if you have a Vlad, you're not sure. If he's a full-term baby, you're not sure if he's a Nefel. And the Vlad lasts for 30 days. Now I see that he's a full-term baby, and he can be Machal Shabbos for this baby. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If we're not sure if the baby is full-term, we're not sure if he was born in the 8th month, which in the times of the Gemara meant he was a Nefel. So then you have to wait 30 days in order to be Machal Shabbos. You'd have to wait 30 days in order to sit Avelos. He said in our times this doesn't apply, because nowadays babies can be born any month, and we can, the medicine has advanced to that degree that they could be able to save their lives. So of course we'd be Machal Shabbos for all of these babies. But in the times of the Gemara, you had to wait 30 days to see if the baby was a Bar Kayama, in which case we could be Machal Shabbos. And if it wasn't, we would not be Machal Shabbos. Didn't last 30 days, not be Machal Shabbos. Or if, to sit Avelos. So doesn't this Gemara in Shabbos demonstrate, like Rashi, that what's the whole purpose of 30 days by Pidyon HaBen is to demonstrate whether or not the child is a Bar Kayama, the child is an Nefel. That seems to be like Rashi. According to Tosfos, Gzeiros HaKosev like that. But according to Rashi, it's to demonstrate whether it's a Bar Kayama or an Nefel. And that's how the Gemara in Shabbos applies it. With regards to Hilchos Shabbos, with regards to Hilchos Avelos, that if it makes it 30 days, it's a Bar Kayama. If it doesn't make it 30 days, it's not a Bar Kayama. If you have a baby we know is full term, then for sure it's a Bar Kayama right away. But if we have a baby that we're not sure, a baby that's born in the 8th month, it's got to wait 30 days to see what its status is. Don't you see, though, from the fact that the Gemara applies this to Hilchos Shabbos, to Hilchos Avelos, that 30 days is the time to determine whether or not a Vlad is a Bar Kayama, Vlad is a Nefel, that's the whole purpose by Pidyon HaBen as well. It's to determine whether it's a Bar Kayama or it's a Nefel. John, what do you want to say? Oh. So this Gemara is a Kasha according to Tosfos. So if you look at the Rashba says, Yesh lomar, that for sure the purpose of the 30 days is in order to determine whether it's a Bar Kayama, whether it's a Nefel. That's why the Torah said, wait 30 days for Pidyon HaBen. Before you invest the money, make sure the Vlad is a Bar Kayama. However, nonetheless, says the Rashba, if it's still a Gzeiros HaKosev, and if it doesn't last 30 days, even if the baby was killed in the interim, even if it was a full-term baby, we know it was not an Nefel. You still put her in Pidyon HaBen. It's Gzeiros HaKosev, but it also has a reason. What's going on here? If that's the reason, so then if you know it's a Bar Kayama, they want you to be Chayav in Pidyon HaBen. If it's Gzeiros HaKosev, how can, do you just have to wait 30 days? It doesn't necessarily indicate anything about the viability of the baby. How can I apply it to Hilchos Shabbos? How can I apply it to Hilchos Avelos? Rabbi say, it can't be both. You hear what I'm saying? So I think the answer is, this is really an important rule for all of learning that takes place in yeshiva. You would say, what does this have to do? Well, we're talking about babies and Pidyon HaBen and the Daf Yud Aleph from the Beis and Baba Kama. I'm telling you, however, this is the most important, just if you think about what we do every day in the Beis Medrash, this is really a critical issue. And it really goes to the heart of where Rashi is coming from also. How did Rashi, can Rashi speculate? What's the purpose of 30 days? To determine whether or not it's a Bar Kayama or to determine, whether it's a Nefel. And therefore, says Rashi, I'm going to tell you, even though the Torah says you wait 30 days, if you know it's a Bar Kayama, Chayav in Pidyon HaBen from day one. Yes, you don't have to pay till day 30, we already explained that. But if the Vlad is a Bar Kayama, once day 30 rolls around, even if the baby was killed before day 30, Chayav in Pidyon HaBen. Because what's the whole purpose of 30 days? To tell me whether or not, to indicate whether the Vlad is a Bar Kayama or it's a Nefel. Who gave us the right to do that? The Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says wait 30 days. Who told us that's, in order to determine whether the Vlad is a Bar Kayama or a Nefel? Makes sense. Torah never says that. Do we have the right to do that? Do we have the right to say, well, the Torah says wait 30 days. I'm going to say it's because, in order to wait to determine whether it's a Nefel or a Bar Kayama. Who gave me the right to do that and then start making halachas based on that? It's a big problem. Because look over here, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Bamitzia, basic rule, in the name of Machlokes HaTanoim, that the opinion of Reb Shimon was Darshin on time of the crow. Pasuk says in Parashas Kiseitze, Lo Yisach Bo Beged Almana. Don't take, when you take a loan from an Almana, when an Almana takes a loan from you, don't take her clothing as a mashkin, as collateral. Why not? Because if the woman has, the Pasuk doesn't say, the Pasuk just says, Osach Bo Beged Almana. Reb Shimon says, I'll tell you why. Why an almana can't I take her clothing as collateral? Because if you have a poor almana, she's going to what? Give me, Rav Shechtos used to give this example. She's going to give me her, I don't like it, but I'm just to tell it because Rav Shechtos always says this example. I think it's a, inappropriate, but okay. And he always says, you're going to take her nightgown. Then what's going to happen? You know, as she only has two sets of clothing, day clothing, night clothing. So you're going to take the nightgown. She's going to have to come with her day clothing to the house to, you know, switch. She only has two sets of clothing, day clothing, nightgown. So what are you going to take? Her nightgown. So she wears her clothing during the day. When is she going to get her nightgown? She's going to have to come at night, give you her day clothing as collateral, take back the nightgown. Every day, people are going to see she's coming to your house, switching her clothing, handing you nightgowns and clothing. It's not going to look nice. That's what Gemara means. So, l'sachbo beged almana, don't take the clothing of the almana. You're going to, you know, give her a bad name within the community. So therefore, if Shimon says, what if I have, so Shachler used to give the example, which, you know, is a dating, Mrs. Gimbals, if you know what that is. It used to be a department store called Gimbals, or Mrs. Bloomingdale's. So she has a whole, you know, department store of clothing. She doesn't only have two sets of clothing. So can I take, you know, a pair of shoes as collateral on the loan? Yeah, why not? She has a whole department store of clothing. What are you concerned about? So if Shimon says it's only by an Amana Aniyah, not by an Amana Ashira. And if Yehuda disagrees, he says he can't do that. The Torah says, Osachbo Beged Amana, you cannot come along and say a reason. And therefore, you know, limit the application of the law based on your reason. Of course, Tosfos points out over here, Masechtas Gittin, of course, we have the right to say reasons for mitzvahs. We're supposed to do that. We're supposed to derive ethical principles from the mitzvahs. Tosfos says, well, pligi alehecha de ikan avkusa, kagon gabi chovo beged almana vegabi lo yavi lo noshim. I mean, Rabbi Shimon says, since the whole reason is only because you're going to give her a bad name, if she has a whole department store, it doesn't apply. So that's where Yehuda says, no, you can't do that. It could be that is the reason. We have to be more sensitive to the almana and making sure she has a good name within the community. But you can't limit the application of this halacha based on your reason. Oh. Sefer Chinuch all the time says, Misharoshe HaMitzvah. Yeah. What's the reason for a mitzvah? It's supposed to derive ethical reasons for the mitzvahs. What is the Torah teaching me about how to live my life? That's a, you know, great critical part of learning. But at the same time, you can't limit the halacha based on that. If Shimon held, you can. And Yehuda holds, no, you can't. You can't limit the halacha based on that. So Rabbi said, getting back over here, the Torah says you have to wait 30 days for Pidyon HaBen. Tosfos holds, even though it's Gzeiras HaKosuv, when you get to Hilchos Shabbos, when you get to Hilchos Avelos, we can derive from Pidyon HaBen. Why do you have to wait 30 days in order to determine if it's a Bar Kayama or if it's an Eifel, and therefore if the Vlad lasts 30 days, he's a Bar Kayama, he can be Mechal Shabbos for him, you sit Avelos for him. Who gave us the right to do that? The Torah says, Exeris HaKosav, Loi Darshin, and time of the Kora. Yes, we have to learn the ethical principles, but we can't limit halachas based on that reason. How can we do that? So you'll say, well, that we only did it over there. We did it Mamish Dav Beis and Bava Kama. What did we do in Dav Beis and Bava Kama? Chaver, you remember? We had the Mishnah. Mishnah said there were four Avos Nezikin. What did we have? Karen, Shor, we had Karen, Bar, Mava, Hever. So what did we do? We said, well, Karen is Kavanos Lahazik, you know. Shane and Rego Yeshan Olezekai. We said, well, whatever is Kavanos, we derived, you know, with Mematzinos. Well, if Karen is and Shane and Rego that, we can derive to everything else. It's your property that causes damage. Who gave us the right to do that? Tyra says, Karen, if my animal gores, how do you know if my car hits somebody? You know, how do you know if my, the Tyra never says anything about, you know, other permutations of this. The Torah says, Karen. Karen is Karen. Who gave me the right to say, well, all the Arba Avos Nezikin are, as the Mishnah says, right? What is the rule? That it's Memoin Chav Shmiras and Alecha, Kishahizik Chav Amazik. It's your money. You're obligated to watch it. So if it causes damage, you have to pay. Just like the other, who said, the Torah says, Exeris HaKosef, these four things. What gave me the right to look for common denominators and derive from here? Yeah?
Isn't this just
Pashat Tarshav
Pet
Tarshav? Oh. I want to say like you, but we're going to have to put it understand exactly what you're saying. 100% right. So Rabbi Chanan asked this question. Over here in the Shiuri Rabbi Chanan says what I think is the yeshivish answer. And that is there's a chiluk, there's a distinction between a tam, a reason, and a geder, and a definition. A reason means, why did the Torah, you know, tell me such and such mitzvah? What's the ethical, moral lesson for my life I'm supposed to derive from this? A geder is a definition. What is the definition of Karen? What is the definition of Shane and Regel? And that could apply to other instances. But I'm not giving a reason. I'm giving a definition. What's the definition of Karen? Kavanos al-Hazik. And it's Mishune. So that definition applies to other instances. That's not the same as a tam. A tam is a reason. Reasons, that's Osach will beg at Almana. Why did the Torah say, don't take a collateral of clothing from an Almana? You're going to give her a bad name. Who are you to say that? So for Rabbi Chanan's definition works for the beginning of Bava Kamma, and that's what he's talking about. But it's, you know, the line between a definition and a reason, you know, it gets blurred. What is the 30 days for Pinyan HaBen? Is that a geder or is that a tam? Is that a definition of 30 days? Or is that more of a reason? Why did the Torah say to wait 30 days? Is to tell me what's the difference, you know, to distinguish between a nefo and a bar kayama. That sounds more like a tam, not a geder, not a definition. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it answers all of the questions. What I think the true answer is I wanted to say this on my own years ago. Then I saw later, still years ago, I saw Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg has the same answer in a letter that he wrote as a haskama to a sefer called Hishtanus HaTvoim Ba'alocha. It's available in the library. He says the same thing. I would like to, you know, I said it my own, but I said it slightly differently. And that is that there's a distinction between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. If I want to limit the application of a pasuk in the Torah to say, you know, the Torah says, Osach will make it all money. I'm going to say, well, it only applies here and there, not there. Because the reason is for this, and that reason doesn't apply, you know, it only applies here, it doesn't apply there. You can't do that. That's Loi Darshina, time of the crow. However, when I want to take a pasuk in the Torah, and not limit its application, but apply it elsewhere. For example, Karen, an animal gores. I'm going to take that and use it as a mematzin or as a binyanav by basing the rules of Torah Shebaal Peh and comparing one case to the other, which is basically what we do, you know, spend our entire time doing in Talmud Torah, is comparing one case to the other, deriving from one area to the other. That's Torah Shebaal Peh. So when I do that, then I have the right to apply what I believe to be the reason for the halacha. Because when we're applying Torah Shebaal Peh is all based on logic. It's all based on reasoning. So to limit the application of a pasuk in Torah Shebichtav, that I have no right to do. But when I'm deriving from one halacha to another area of halacha, I'm applying it elsewhere. I'm only going to apply it where it makes sense to apply it. You have to apply reason and logic to that equation. So when I'm deriving from Karen to other instances, a moment, a mazik, then I have to apply the reason. Why is Karen? What is Karen? Why Karen? And then I can apply that to other areas. To limit what a pasuk in the Torah says in the Torah, no, that I can't do. But to apply it elsewhere, I'm only going to apply it where the reason applies. So therefore says, Zalman Nechemya, now we understand. The Torah said you have to wait 30 days by Pidyon HaBen. That's what the Rashba is telling us. By Pidyon HaBen, it's Gzeiros HaKosev, you have to wait 30 days. And therefore, Tosis argues on Rashi, and he says, even if I know it was a Bar Kayama on day one, you still got to wait till day 30. And if it never makes it to day 30, you're Pater and Pidyon HaBen. But when I'm going to take that and apply it to Hilchos Shabbos, and apply it to Hilchos Avelos, who's called an Eifel? Who's called a Bar Kayama? Give me Michal Shabbos for him, instead of Avelos for him. I'm only going to apply it where the reason makes sense. And that's why the Torah told me wait 30 days. I can't limit and, you know, Pinyon HaBen based on this. That's where the Torah says it. I can't limit a pasuk in the Torah based on the reason that I interpret for the mitzvahs of the Torah. But when I'm applying it elsewhere to Hilchos Shabbos, it doesn't say 30 days by Hilchos Shabbos. It says it by Pinyon HaBen. I'm learning out from Pinyon HaBen to Hilchos Shabbos. I'm learning out from Pinyon HaBen to Hilchos Avelus. Then I can regulate it based on the reason. All of Torah Shebaal Peh, learning one thing from the other, depends on reasoning and logic. So one final example, then I'll take your question, where I believe you see this principle, Rabbi say, look, the famous contradiction. Look over here, the Rambam says in Hilchos Shechita, we mentioned yesterday, that there are 18 treifas. Of course, we don't check for all 18, we only check for holes in the lungs. Why is a whole discussion for another time? But there are 18 treifas. What if a doctor says, you know, one of the treifas is listed by the Gemara, the animal won't die within 12 months. It'll make it way past it. Is the animal still treif? Still no good? Says the Rambam, yes, we don't listen to the doctors. V'chein eilu shamanu v'amru shein treifa, av alpi sheyire bedarkei refuah shebiyadeinu shemiksasen einim amisen, v'efshe shetichim mehen, ein lecha l'ma shamanu chachamim shenema alpi ha'tara sheyarucha. We don't listen to what medicine tells us when it comes to treifas. When it comes to other areas, we do. Yeah? Hope that's obvious. The Rambam tells over here in Perek Beis of Hilchos Ritzeach, what about a treifa by a human being? Ha-hoyrig es a treifa, person kills a treifa. We said that there's no capital punishment for killing a treif. Of course, it's still murder, but there's no capital punishment. Most people are assumed to not be treifas. Fine. Until you know the guy is a treifa, if you kill him, there's capital punishment. If the doctors say this person has such a defect, he has such a, you know, there's something wrong with him, he won't be able to last 12 months, and you kill him, there's no capital punishment. What does the Rambam say when it comes to treifas by human beings? Does it depend on doctors? Yeah, the Rambam says, Ad sheyodeh bevadish zeh treifa, until you know that the person is a treifa, v'yomru harofim shemakezu ein lo tala ba'adam. There's no way that a person can survive long term with such a makah. So what does it depend upon? You need a doctor's note to say that the person is a treifa. And if the doctors say he can live like that, he's not a treifa. Gevalt. What's the difference between treifas by behemoths and treifas by human beings? Famous kasha, steer within the Rambam. You can't say it's because we don't trust the doctors. Why? Because then it shouldn't apply to treifas by human beings. And if we're going to be open to medical knowledge and determining what's considered a treifa, why doesn't it apply to animals? So Reb Chaim Moser explains in Achiezer based on what we said. The same idea. And that is because it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, the same as a pasuk in the Torah, that what? These 18 things are treifas by animals. We derive from there, based on Torah Shebaal Peh, to treifas by human beings. But there is never halacha l'moshe m'Sinai said with regards to what's a treifa by a human being. We derive from treifas by animals to treifas by human beings. That we only do with logic. That we only do with reasoning. So if the person can't live for 12 months with such a condition, then he's a treifa. If the doctors say he can live for 12 months with such a condition, he's not a treifa. But by animals, we can't do that. Loi darshin on time of the crow, loi darshin on time of the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, the equivalent of Torah Shebaal Peh. Because we can't say, well, the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai only told us these 18 things because he can't live 12 months. No, you have no right to do that. You have no right to do that. But when we're extrapolating from there to elsewhere, of course we have to apply reasoning. We have to apply logic. How do I know to apply it here and not there? There and not there? It's only based on, svara. So when I'm using svara, I have the right to include what I perceive to be the reason for the halacha. So 30 days by Pidyon HaBen Tosfos told us that's a gzeiras hakosuf. But when I'm applying it to Hilchos Shabbos, applying it to Hilchos Avelos, I have the right to assume that it's coming to tell me what's the difference between a nepho and bar kayama. Okay, huh?